The Old Testament reading today is from Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all the work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you and your son or your daughter, or your male servant or your female servant, or your ox or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 through 12. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let the light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every day, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to the death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in with us, but the life in you. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the second chapter. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did? When he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him?" And he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson. You know, every state has certain laws on the books that were put there long ago, but really don't make sense. Like, did you know in Florida, a woman may be fined for falling asleep under a hairdryer? Indiana. Oh, we're not exempt either. Did you know that citizens are not allowed to attend a movie within 4 hours of eating garlic? Having been in theaters, I think this is a very good idea. In Iowa, a man with a mustache is forbidden from kissing a woman in public. Okay, in Moline, Illinois, ice skating at the Riverside Pond is illegal in June, July, and August. Illinois has got some wild ones. A city called Normal. It's against the law to make a face at a dog. Now, here's one that actually makes sense to me. In Wisconsin, it's against the law to serve apple pie in a restaurant without cheese on top of it. See, that makes sense to me. Now, one place I'm glad I don't live is in Nicholas County in West Virginia. It is illegal for clergy to tell jokes or humorous stories from the pulpit. Hoy vey, would I be in trouble. I mean, we kind of laugh at some of the silly laws that are on the books. But do we have any of those in the church? These things we follow It almost borders on what legalism is. Legalism is described as a strict adherence to the law. When relating to faith, a legalist is one who believes that performance is the way to gain favor with God. One of the things we need to be careful of is that our faith does not become a list of the do's. So I got to do all these things, and here's the don'ts that I can't. Now, of course, we always look at ourselves and say, we're not the legalist. It's that one over there. When legalism spreads then within the church, as any church, whether it's an individual congregation, church, or churches as groups or entire denominations, when they get into that legalism, it starts to dull the work of God. God's work can't be done when people start thinking that their salvation depends on them. Almost like that keeping of a scorecard. Or, I'm holier than thou. Guess what I've done this week? What have you done for the Lord? So, even in the church, I think sometimes we have these inherent dangers. In our gospel lesson, it's talking about the Sabbath. If you actually read through the Old Testament and would say, just do a search on Sabbath, there is a fair amount, don't work, because you know we had the Old Testament lesson from Deuteronomy. Other places it says, you're not keeping my Sabbath, but there's not a whole list of the rules. So the rabbi sat down to fix this problem. They came up with 39 categories on the Sabbath. Total of 1,500 ways you could break the Sabbath. Like, it was unlawful to kill a flea that lands on your arm because that is considered hunting. If an ox fell in the ditch, he could pull it out. But if a man fell in, he had to stay there. Jesus even points to that one and says, yes, but wouldn't you pull your ox out on the Sabbath? So that's what he was referring to, was this rabbinical rule. Here, you could dip your radish in salt, but you couldn't leave it there too long because that's part of the pickling process. So then the rabbis argued, how long does it take to pickle a radish? Now, you could only eat an egg that had been laid on the Sabbath if you killed the chicken for working on the Sabbath. So the chicken was working if it laid an egg. So you should kill it, and then you could eat the egg. It's okay to spit on a rock on the Sabbath, but you couldn't spit on the ground because adding water to mud makes mortar, and mortar is work. The Talmud, which is the Jewish sort of commentary on the scriptures, has no less than 24 chapters on the Sabbath. In the gospel lessons, there's 6 different occasions when the Pharisees come after Jesus about the Sabbath. 5 of them are about him healing on the Sabbath. And then we have this one that was our gospel lesson where they're attacking Jesus for the behavior of his disciples. You know, they get outraged when Jesus forgave sins, but they get really irked when he breaks the Sabbath in their opinion. The disciples and Jesus were going through the field. At this time, it was common that while you were traveling, especially if you did not have enough food with you, it was allowed that you could go into somebody's field, walk through it, pick heads of grain. Then you rubbed it together to get the husk off, get down to the kernels, and eat that. Comes from Deuteronomy 23. So Jesus' disciples are just doing what the scriptures said. If you go into your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck the ears with your hand, but you shall not put a sickle to your neighbor's standing grain. So I could take some and eat it, but I'm not allowed to take a sickle through. That would be today's equivalent. I'm allowed to pick a few, but don't take your John Deere tractor through the field and start harvesting an entire path through somebody's wheat field. No, they're not allowed to do that. So they don't criticize, the Pharisees don't criticize Jesus' disciples for picking the grain. What they criticized him for was the motion of this to get the husk off to get down to the kernels. Violating the Sabbath. Here's a question. How'd the Pharisees see this? What were they doing, following him? I don't know. See, weird things come in my head like this. Remember, they counted the number of steps, too. So they're following Jesus. Now, Jacob, you be careful. You got 27 more steps, and then you can't walk for 12 hours. I don't know. What they're trying to with Jesus, bad behavior by the disciples looks bad upon the rabbi, which would be Jesus. You know, there's kind of a lesson to be learned there. As Christians, our behavior can, quote, make the Lord look bad. The Pharisees are playing this gotcha game. When are you going to break the rules? When are you going to break the rules? Then we can jump on you. It's kind of like the media interviewing some politician they really don't like. They play the gotcha game. They're just trying to find something wrong. And the Pharisees are asking, why to Jesus? Why do your disciples do this? Why don't they fast? Why don't... Jesus has an amazing amount of patience with them. But Jesus says doing good on the Sabbath trumps any man-made rule. See, the word Sabbath means it's a ceasing of labor. Cease from exertion. We had it from Exodus 20. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. Jesus is very sarcastic. See, again, that just blows that whole Hollywood image of Jesus. When the Pharisees say, you know, your disciples are breaking the Sabbath, he starts off with, well, have you ever read? You get the sarcasm? It's like, Pharisees, you who know the Torah, the first five books so perfectly, haven't you read? He's putting them on the spot. He goes back to the story of David. When David's men were in need, they were hungry. They come to Abiathar, the high priest, and they had these special loaves of bread called the showbread. 12 loaves for the 12 tribes of Israel. They put them on the altar of the Lord for the Sabbath, which, by the way, they baked it on the Sabbath. Love to know how the Pharisees or even the Orthodox Jews today write that one off. But they baked it on the Sabbath, and then after the Sabbath, only the high priests could eat that bread. David and his men show up hungry, and the high priest, Abiathar, takes the bread from the altar and hands it to David and his men. And Jesus is saying, you're complaining about my disciples rubbing their hands together to get the husk off, but you don't seem to be too concerned what David did. See, Jesus is about taking care of needs. And he says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. The last verse of our gospel lesson, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The rabbis argued amongst themselves that because man was created on the sixth day and the Sabbath was on the seventh, man was strictly created to keep the Sabbath. Doesn't that make your head want to just blow up? Entire purpose is to keep rules and regulations. See, God created the Sabbath to be a blessing, not to be bondage to people. In the last little part of that gospel lesson, he says, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. He's saying, I'm above the Sabbath. Okay, so they're eating. That's a necessity. The Sabbath was never meant to be this monster that they had created. And by the way, so it doesn't sound like I'm just ripping into the Pharisees. People will look at the Bible and think it's a series of laws. Especially, how do you all like reading the book of Leviticus? And you shall take the cow up into the hill and there slaughter it. And burn the entrails, for it is a soothing aroma to the Lord. That ain't my idea of soothing aroma. But you get into the book of Leviticus, and suddenly you think the whole Bible's about laws. And a lot of people just point to the Bible as it's a set of laws. By the way, the purpose of Leviticus and the Old Testament sacrificial laws, the purpose was, you can't do it. You want to try to atone for your own sins? You can't do it. Solomon and all of his riches could not have sacrificed, did not have enough money to sacrifice enough animals for his sins and the sins of his wife, of his wives, I should say. The Sabbath is about rest. Christ is about rest. Hebrews 4 tells us, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now we who have believed enter that rest. Remember, I started off this talking about what legalism is when you start, when we start to think I've got to do these certain things in order to either earn God's grace, God's forgiveness. I've got to do these things. Christ says, rest from that idea because he took care of that at the cross. We're not going to work our way into heaven. We just need to put that whole idea of working our way to heaven to rest. Now, why do we do good works as defined in the Bible? It's in response to what Christ has done for us. Why do I take care of my neighbor? Okay? It's because I am responding to everything God has done for me by then taking care of this person. Or as John tells us in his first epistle, basically paraphrasing it this way, how can I love and serve the God I cannot see if I do not love and serve the neighbor I can? Christ says, rest. Sins are taken care of. He paid that terrible price. We can rest. We don't have to worry about that. Am I forgiven? Am I saved? Have I done enough? Matthew 11, in conclusion, tells us, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds always focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.